I like Brother Luke Bishop. I'm glad that he's here. I like him because he eats fried okra and grits. Amen. I'm telling you now. And that's the real deal right there. And so, no, I'm serious. I appreciate him. And he has been director of the camp for 12 years now. His dad, of course, battling with his health now for several years, started the camp, as he said, 43 years ago. And so many, many churches, assistant pastors, teenagers have gone through Triple S Christian Ranch. And boy, I tell you, his dad took a tremendous stand for right many, many years ago and was belittled for it, but he has been proven to be right because he stood on the Word of God. And I really appreciate that, and had the privilege to be there several times at the camp. They run a good program. He's a good singer. He leads the Singspiration after everything at night, after the services are over. Beautiful amphitheater setting there in the hills of Arkansas. And I think he should be impressed with how hilly our area here is. Amen. Just overwhelmed. But it's a beautiful setting, great camp, and he's just being used. God's hands on him. I'm glad it is. You know, he had a great heritage, godly heritage, but at some point in time, you got to make the decision for yourself. And he did that some years ago, no doubt, and God's using him, and I'm glad he could be here for us tonight, for our young people this morning, the next couple of days. Brother Mick's got the song tonight, so we'll enjoy that, and then we'll hear from Brother Bishop.
I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be, that someone so guilty could just be set free? My chains, they were broken. I'd been born again. That moment when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in.
good to be here this evening. I'm going to move this to the side if that's, man, all right, over there out of the way. And, man, we're in business. Aren't you glad to be in the house of God this evening? And I tell you, I'll be honest with you, there's just not anywhere I'd rather be on a Sunday or Wednesday or Monday or Tuesday or a Thursday or Friday or Saturday. But that's about the way it's going to be for us the next 2 months, is we're going to be in church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so, man, I'm excited about it. And so my kids, they kind of question every once in a while, like, Dad, are we going to church again tonight? You know, man, we've been in church every night for 2 months, and that's right. But, hey, we love it. We just keep the fun and dysfunctional around our house, man. That's what we do. And so, so I'm telling you what, we just have a time, you know. And I'm from the South. I'm Southern born and Southern bred. And when I die, I'll be Southern dead. You know what I'm talking about? And I just love it. The young people were talking about sweet tea this morning, you know. And you know, I come up here, and I don't even know why I ask anymore if they have sweet tea, you know. I mean, it's just crazy, you know, that nobody's got it. And everything, you know, I like it, 2 cups of sugar to a gallon of tea. That's the way I like it, and that's the way we make it back home, you know. And everything, I just love it. I come up here, I used to use that stuff Equal, and somebody's like, man, don't drink that stuff. That'll give you dementia. And I'm like, all right. So I just went over that Sweet and Low, and somebody's like, don't drink that stuff. That'll give you cancer. So now I take both of them. That way, if I get cancer, I'll forget about it. Amen. And so, anyhow, I don't think it's going to work, but either way, that's just the way we are, man. I love it. I love being from the South. I don't mind coming up here, and I was telling my brother over here, Brother David, I said, and he said, you come up here? I said, it's too far above Mason-Dixon for me, really. I said, I kind of come up and go back down. He's like, you can't stand anymore. I said, I don't think they can stand anymore of me when I come up here and go back down. So, anyhow, John chapter number 6, let's get preaching this evening. And I want to give you something. I've been torn over what to preach, and so I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do tonight. And so John chapter number 6, I love the book of John. Out of the Gospels, man, this is just the one for me. And maybe you like Matthew, you like Mark, you like whatever, I don't know. But John, there's just something about the book of John. There's just so much there, so rich, and obviously the whole Bible is. But, you know, there's just those passages that for you are special. This is one for me. And John chapter number 6, and it's a common story. The Bible says there in verse number 1, John chapter number 6, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. And when he did on them, which he did on them that were diseased, then Jesus went up into a mountain. And there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, and he saith unto them, Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that they that every one of them would take a little. Verse number 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and the number of 5,000. So, man, here's a big crew of people. And the Bible says in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise the fishes, as much as they would, and when they were filled. Now let me just stop there for a second. I want to teach you a biblical principle that when you sit down and eat, the Bible teaches right here, you eat until you are full. Can I get an amen right there? So, I mean, this is a biblical thing. So next time some of you ladies sit down and you're like, oh no, I better stop right there. The Bible teaches you better just go ahead and eat. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I do. So anyhow, that's what the Bible teaches, and I feel like it's justified. And you can tell by looking at me, that's what I do as well. It says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. In verse number 13, and therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. Now listen, I know everybody here has heard this story. If you've been in church any amount of time at all, you know what just took place. You know that Jesus was there and he was teaching, so and he was doing these miracles. The Bible says he was performing miracles on them. So tonight, I just want to take a few minutes, and I just want to tell you about this lad and his lunch. This lad and his lunch. And maybe just give you something that maybe, you know, sometimes the most common things that we think we know everything about, when you revisit them and you ask the Lord to show you something fresh and new, isn't it amazing how that in this book that you've read many, many, many times, at least I hope you've read many, many, many times, it comes alive. And it is fresh and it's new. I love it that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. It doesn't matter how long you've been serving Him, it just gets better and better and gooder, as they say in the South. Hey, there ain't nothing like serving Jesus. And so tonight we're going to look at this passage and just try to draw a few thoughts that maybe can be a help. Heavenly Father, I need You. I love You. Help us now. In Your name I pray. Amen. Here we go. Here's a boy. He's just a boy. And he's with his buddies. I would assume he's hanging out with his friends. And all of a sudden, they start talking about Jesus in the town. And man, they say, hey, Jesus, he's gone out on this mountainside. He's outside of town, and he's kind of away from everything. And man, you're not going to believe what Jesus is doing. There was a guy that came there who had an issue and with his blood. And man, he went there and no doctor could fix it or figure it out. And Jesus just spoke the word. And man, all of a sudden he was healed. You wouldn't believe it. This boy hears these stories of what Jesus was doing. Which, by the way, let me just say this. This lost world needs to hear the stories of what Jesus is doing. If you don't have a story to tell of what Jesus has done for you, then my friend, your walk with God is not very good and it needs to get better. So here we are. They're telling stories and this boy says, son, I got to go see this. That's in the Greek somewhere in between there. He says, son, I got to go see this. This is him and his buddies. They're like, hey, let's go. So you know how it works with young people. I know this is the way it was when I was a kid. When I kind of wanted to do something, I didn't really want to give my mom and dad a chance to really think about it. So when I'd ask for permission to go fishing, maybe at the neighbor's pond, and I have to walk about a mile and a half or so to go there, you know, I just kind of opened the door. I already had my tackle box and my fishing poles, and I was ready to go. And I'd open the door, and I'd be like, hey, Mom, I'm going to run over to Austin's house and go fishing real quick. I'll be right back in just a couple hours. And I'd shut the door and just take off and hoping she said yes. You know, so that's what I imagine this boy did. Hey, Mom, I'm going to go see Jesus, and slams the door. And she's, hold on a second, son. I heard Jesus was out on the mountainside. That's a pretty good piece from here. You better take a lunch. You got to imagine that boy. Mama. Man, my buddies aren't taking lunches. And if I come in here with this sack lunch and all my buddies don't have one, they're going to call me a mama's boy and they're going to call me a sissy and they're going to make fun of me. Mom, please don't do it. Son, if you want to go see Jesus, you got to take your lunch. All right. So what are you giving me? Well, I'm going to give you 5 small loaves and a couple fish and just put them in this bag and take them with you. Now, I can only imagine here they come, man. He comes walking out, all of his buddies, hey, you ready to go? You ready to go? Hey, and he comes walking out, he's kind of got it behind his back. What's behind your back? Oh, nothing, nothing, man, nothing at all. And, hey, what's behind your back? Oh, nothing, nothing, leave me alone, man. And finally, one of them kind of goes around and grabs it out of his hand. And, you're such a mama's boy, man. You brought a lunch with you to go see Jesus. We're not going to be out there very long. So they go walking out. They get there. Can you imagine? The Bible says that when Jesus healed somebody, he made them whole. Can you imagine? Here comes maybe somebody who's helping each other down and they're both lepers and maybe one man is missing 3 or 4 fingers and maybe some toes and maybe part of his foot and another man, his entire leg is missing on one side and they come staggering in together and they make their way through the crowd of the 5,000 men and how many other folks and women and children were there and they make their way through the crowd and one by one they step past people and when they get there, I don't know what Jesus did, whether he touched them or spoke the word, or I don't know what he did, but all of a sudden when they walked in and fingers were missing and toes were missing and they couldn't see out of an eye because of leprosy, when they walked out they could see and they had all their fingers and they had their toes and they had their feet, and because Jesus had healed them and made them whole. And here's this boy, man, he's just sitting there, come on, Jesus. Hey, I'm telling you what, you know, it would be better than any ball game you'd ever go to. Hey, it'd be better than any activity you could ever be a part of. And that was seeing Jesus do all these miracles. It was amazing. And he's sitting there looking. I'm going to preach in just a second, all right? He's sitting there watching Jesus do all of this. Oh, man. Come on, Jesus. Oh, man, here comes another one. This lady's blind. Man, what's Jesus going to do? And man, she walks out of there and she can see. All of a sudden, you've got to see the disciples around. What are the disciples doing, man? Get out of the way, I can't see Jesus. Come on, Peter, quit trying to be the center of attention again. I want to see Jesus. And they all kind of gather around. They're having this conversation. They're talking to Jesus. Everything kind of stops for a minute. He's sitting there. He's got his lunch beside him. And all of a sudden, he gets a tap on the shoulder. Hey, buddy, you come with me. He probably looks up. You talking? You want me? Yeah, bring your lunch, too. You want my lunch? He's like, okay. So he grabs his lunch. He's like, where are we going? We're going down there with Jesus. Hold on a second. You want me and my lunch to go down there where Jesus is? Yeah, come on with me. The Bible says that, hey, and you know, sometimes we give the disciples a bad rap, but I tend to think this, that Andrew, kind of just in the back of his mind, knew what Jesus could do. Otherwise, I don't think he'd look for the boy with the lunch. Now listen, you may argue with me, and you can, that's fine. I really don't have Bible to back that up. But it just, why would Andrew really wonder or bring this boy if he didn't think Jesus could do anything with 5 hush puppies and 2 small pieces of fish? Just a thought. So here he is, brings him to Jesus. I don't know what the conversation was with Jesus, but Jesus took his lunch. He opened it up. He began to break it. Gave it to the disciples. The disciples gave it to the men. And the disciples fed the people. And man, God did an amazing miracle. So here's something I see from the story. Number one, I see the boy and his motives. I see the boy and his motives. The Bible says that this young man, he went out on the mountainside to see Jesus. And the reason that he did was because Jesus was healing people. He didn't go out there because he was a super spiritual Christian. He didn't go out there because, oh, I just need to be where Jesus is. And man, I'm telling you what, I just need to be under the spout where the glory's coming out. That's why. No, the Bible says he went out there because Jesus was doing miracles and they wanted to see Jesus do it. And so they went out there. I see the boy and his motives. And you know what I think is tonight is this, is that I don't know what it would take to get us out on the mountainside with Jesus Christ. Hey, for every single person it's different. But I know this, that on the mountainside is where God is working. And it's where He is doing great things. And sometimes, I don't care what it is that gets you out there, and sometimes God uses circumstances to get you out there. But my friend, every time you go out on the mountainside with the Lord Jesus, no matter what your motive is, it always ends up good. Boy, it's always great when you get out there with Jesus and watch Him work. See, tonight, sometimes people go through struggles, they go through trials, they have problems and all this kind of stuff. And I can't sit here and say I understand or I know why you're going through them. If I would, I'd be a foolish preacher. That would be a lie. I'm never going to say that. But what I can say is maybe you just use those to motivate you just to get out there where Jesus is working. Just get out of town. So many people in their walk with God, I preached on walking with God this morning with teenagers, and you say, preacher, it's Wednesday night crowd. You wouldn't believe how many people on Wednesday night don't really have a walk with God. You wouldn't believe it. And tonight, I just see this young man and his motives. He heard Jesus was working, so that's where he went. And my friend, wherever Jesus is working, that's where we ought to be. That's where we ought to be. You see, I think about this boy, and these are just simple thoughts. They're just little things. I wrote them down the other day when I was getting ready to preach some teenagers, and I preached it to them, and so now I'm preaching it to you, all right? So here it is. But I see the boy and his motives that drove him to get out on the mountainside, but then I also see that here's this boy and his menu. His menu. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. And here's what I love about this young man. Here's what I love. He didn't barter with Jesus. He didn't say, I tell you what, Jesus, I'm going to give you the biggest part. I'm going to give you 1 fish and 2 pieces of bread. And I'm going to keep one and one, and you're actually going to get more than I have, Jesus, and you're going to do better than I'm doing, but I'm going to keep this back just in case. He didn't say that. He didn't make a deal with God. But I love it. He looked inside his lunchbox and he said, Jesus, you want this lunch, you want these five loaves, and you want these two fish, and he took all that he had, the Bible says, everything, and he gave it to Jesus. He just gave it all to him. And my friend, I'm telling you, sometimes we wonder why the Lord is not doing miracles in our lives and he's not working in our lives like maybe somebody else. It's because you're keeping a piece of fish and you're keeping a piece of bread for yourself and you're only giving God a certain part. And my friend, the Lord does not work that way. He wants all you got so he can take it and turn it into something amazing. He can take it and he can do with your life what no man can do for you. He can change you like no man can change you. He can work like no man can work. And today, my friend, the reason why we don't give it to him is because we don't believe in our heart of hearts that he really can do it. If he'd had any doubt at all, he'd have kept some back. But he didn't. You know, some of us, the reason we don't give God everything is because we're not convinced that he can do better with what we got than we can. So here's this little boy. He didn't know much. He just finished getting made fun of by his buddies. He'd been sitting in the back row because they kind of got there late. But buddy, don't you think when all of his buddies were sitting back there, and they'd been making fun of him for bringing his lunch, and he's standing right there next to Jesus and the disciples and all the other followers that went with Jesus. The Bible says everywhere he went, he says in Acts chapter 1, don't you think, son, I'm glad Mama made me pack this lunch. Well, I'm glad I didn't throw it away. Glad I didn't lose it. Let me just say this. Hey, to young people especially, but to anybody here. You know, God packs you a lunchbox when you're born of potential and all these different things. And you know, a long life's way, it's real easy to throw some of that away or lose some of that. Let me just plead with you tonight. Don't throw away anything that God's given you. Don't throw away any opportunity. You say, I don't like what's on the menu. I don't really like what's in the lunchbox. Hey, I know that maybe sometime, I can tell you this, John Bishop, he wasn't too fond of the fact that he was going to have to go through meningitis. He was going to lose his memory and not know who his sons were, who his wife was. He didn't know he was a pastor. He didn't even know anything about a Christian life. He didn't know the Bible. He didn't know any of those things. And if you'd have asked him beforehand, he might not have liked the menu very much. But now you can ask him some 20-some years later, hey, John Bishop, what are the greatest things that's ever happened to you? My Lord Jesus, my Donna, and meningitis. You see, he didn't throw away his opportunity that God had given him. He just took what was on the menu and he gave it to Jesus. So I see this boy and his menu. I see this boy and not only that, I see his master. Oh man. He got right up under where Jesus was. Oh son, could you imagine? He was the envy of all 5,000 of those men, however many other folks were there. I'm telling you what, how did that little boy get down there with Jesus? And what in the world, why did Jesus choose that boy? And why did Jesus choose that lunch? And man, why did it happen that way? All I can say is because he was willing. When the master asked, he came. You know, sometimes people, Christians, say, man, why does that person get all the blessings? Why is that person, man, it seems like God's doing this in their life and God's doing that in their life. Well, maybe, just maybe, and I'm not being mean to anybody, but maybe they just wanted to be down there where Jesus was. You see, we have a Heavenly Father tonight. I don't want to preach too long. We have a Heavenly Father tonight who loves us more than any earthly father could ever love a child. And man, he does for us what no earthly father could ever do. And he blesses us and all that kind of stuff. And I can tell you tonight, I know it is with my father. When I acted in such a way that I wanted to please my father, did you know it was easy to find favor from him? My daughter already knows this at a young age. They know if they want to get ice cream from dad. My little daughter Amber, she is beautiful. I'm not just saying this because she's my daughter. She's got curly blonde hair, and I'm pretty realist, really, with my kids and all that. And I tell my boys not head, and tell everybody else he is, and all. But man, my third child, I got three wonderful children and a fourth one, you know, and that's the way it works around our house, and it could be any of them at any given time. And so I got this man. She is beautiful. She's a doll baby. She really is. I mean, she's just beautiful. And God has honestly probably cursed me with that. But anyhow, she's beautiful. She got these big, beautiful eyes, man, curly blonde hair. And she's got that sweet southern drawl already, you know. And she already knows. She knows there are certain things she can do. Man, she can be acting sassy, but all of a sudden when the thought of ice cream comes up, buddy, she's as sweet as pie. She's coming up, Daddy, I love you. Man, you're the greatest, Dad. You are so handsome, Dad. I mean, she's just going on and on and on. What's she trying to do? She's trying to win my favor. That's what she's trying to do. And you know what? It works. It works, man. I'll pull my billfold out, and we will go, and we will get ice cream, and it will be game on, man. We're going to have the time of our life. It works. You know why it works? Because she wants to be with Dad. She'll crawl up in my lap. She'll change how she's acting. She'll change what she does. She'll even go into the room, and sometimes, man, she'll put on a pretty dress. Be like, Dad, I'm ready to go to town. Why are we going to town? Well, I thought maybe we could get some ice cream. She changes what she wears. She changes how she talks. She changes what she does. Hey, she changes a lot of things about her life because she wants to find favor with her father. And here I am. I'm sitting here thinking, man, there are so many Christians who won't change a thing in their life. They won't act any different. They won't talk any different. They won't dress any different. And when somebody says anything about it, they get aggravated. They get frustrated. They get angry. They get upset. And the bottom line is this, is you go ahead and get upset. I'd rather just sit over here and have favor with the Holy God in heaven. Bible says, come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And here's the beautiful part. We can preach the devil out of that verse, but we never say anything about the last part, and that is this, and I will receive you. See, we don't separate from the world because we're supposed to. We separate from the world because we want to be accepted and have favor from our Heavenly Father. That's why we do it. And honestly, that's why so many young people hit the door. It's because they're doing it for rule's sake and for daddy's sake. And that's what I preached about this morning. And for preacher's sake. And that's only going to last so long. And folks, it's time that we get a deep-seated, principle-driven life from the Word of God. And we live in such a way that is pleasing to Him. Not because we're told to. Not because we want to. But because we love the Lord Jesus. See, I see the boy and his master. Whatever Jesus wanted, He just gave it to him. That is something that is just not happening. It's just not happening. I see the master and his miracle. Here it is, Jesus takes it. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know how it worked. Sonny started breaking that bread. Just breaking it. You can only imagine. I was sitting next to a lady on the plane on the way up here. Christian lady, and we were talking. I was witnessing to her. And she said she was volunteering for this thing, and they tried to put together 1,000,000 meals. They put together 900,000 meals for the St. Louis area. I don't know what it was. I don't know what group it was. But she said she was volunteering for it. And immediately this story came to mind. And I said, how long did it take you? She said, man, we had like 5,000 volunteers and all this stuff, all these kitchens set aside, and man, commercial kitchens and all this. And it was like a whole weekend deal, and they were talking about all the man hours that went into it. I don't know how long it took. But man, you think 5, 10, 12, 15,000 people, how many people were there? Just kept breaking. Just kept breaking. Just kept breaking. And he'd fill up a basket and hand it to the disciples. They'd take it out and start feeding everybody. Son, they just kept on eating. You know, I don't know how the fish but here's the thing. Jesus never did anything halfway. So I got to imagine that fish was amazing. Probably the best fish they ever put in their mouth. Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. And I think about that bread, man, it had to be, I mean, something. I'm not sure how it works. I just know my wife, man, she makes some amazing bread at the house, and it just smells up the aroma. Just, man, makes the house smell beautiful when you walk in. And man, there's nothing like just a hot loaf of bread coming out of the oven, you know. Man, I'll come in sometimes, and I'll shut the door kind of hard. She's like, don't shut that door so hard, man. You're going to make my bread fall down. It's rising and all this kind of stuff. And, man, I listen to her. I'm telling you what, because I want the product that's going to come out of that. Man, I'll tell you what, you take a good hot slice of that bread, and you get but not margarine. Okay, margarine is not butter. That is not butter. That's like one molecule away from plastic, somebody told me. All right, so that's not butter. All right, they might put a little bit of salt in that stuff, and they may slap it on the bread, whatever. That's not butter. You take real, 100% genuine from the cow butter. That's what I'm talking about. Man, you slap that stuff right there on the bread, and man, I'm telling you what, that is one thing that will be served at the marriage supper of the Lamb right there. I'm telling you what, it is amazing. I don't know, Jesus might have served up a little bit of butter. He might have had him go milk a cow and make some butter or something. I don't know what Jesus did. But I can tell you this, it was good. It was good. Man, what a beautiful miracle. All because a boy went out on the mountainside where Jesus was working. So here's what happens. Bible says he said, gather up the fragments. Some people say, well, we got one for each disciple. Some people say, you know, there's all these different speculations of why there would be 12 baskets. I just feel like, here goes this boy back to his house. He's got all these leftovers, and I love leftovers, man. I'm telling you what, like my wife the other night, man, she made some grits. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, and a deer roast and green beans. Not your normal green beans, but, you know, she always puts bacon in my green beans and brown sugar. Hey, can I get an amen right there? And, man, and we cook everything in bacon grease. I mean, you cook your eggs in bacon grease. You cook your sausage in bacon grease. You know, that's what we use. And, man, I'm telling you what, my mouth's watering right now. I could go for some of that, I'm telling you. Son, I love it when she puts it all in them containers and puts it back in the refrigerator, and then the next day you pull it out, you know, and you just get your green beans out in a clump and put it on the thing because all the butter and bacon grease and all that, it's solidified, you know what I'm talking about? And y'all, I'm telling you, don't knock it till you try it. It's absolutely amazing. Son, you pull that out, you get some of that deer roast, and you put it on there, and man, you get those grits that are directly from heaven. You know, they got cheese and they got Rotel and all that kind of jalapenos in it, man. I'm telling you what, you put that on your plate right there. Son, you put it in the microwave and you warm all that back up. I'm telling you what, it'll change your life. You'll be a new man. I love eating on leftovers. Man, my wife fixes a big meal. She does it right, man. We can eat on that thing for 3 or 4 days. I mean, it just keeps on going. It's a gift that keeps giving. You know what I mean? That's the way it is. And so here it is. We got all of this food. Man, it's amazing. Jesus bags it all back up. I'm done with this. I mean that. That's usually when a preacher says I got 25 more minutes, but I mean it. Here comes the boy home. A couple of disciples behind him, carrying a bag over his shoulder. Son, they're loaded up. They get home. Mama, you're never going to believe what happened. She's in the back bedroom. Son, what are you talking about? Jesus, I went all the way down there where Jesus... Did you interrupt Jesus, son? What are you doing? I ought to tan your hide. You know, she's a good Southern Israelite woman. You know what I mean? And man, I ought to wear your hide in out for that. You don't interrupt Jesus when he's standing there talking in front of him. No, Mama, you don't understand. I didn't interrupt Jesus. Hey, Jesus, he called me down. You mean to tell me Jesus had to get on to you? No, Mama, you don't understand. I wasn't in trouble. Jesus wanted me down there. Remember that lunch you sent me? Yeah, what about it? Well, I gave it to Jesus. You did what? Well, I gave it to Jesus. Are you serious? Yeah, I gave it all to Him. Well, son, if you'd have told me that, I'd have seasoned that a little bit better. I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe Jesus had, man, I can't believe Jesus ate what you were going to eat. What in the world? I mean, because she really was a Southern woman. That's how a Southern woman talks too, by the way. They take pride in their cooking. And here, she said, she came out of the bedroom and she said, son, what are you talking about? He said, Andrew, come on in, buddy. Peter, guys, work your way in here. And man, they come in and they just take the kitchen table and they just fill it plump full of food. Here's all these leftovers. Baskets and baskets. Mama says, son, what are we going to do with all this food? Call your uncle down the road and call your aunt down here. Man, run down here and get my brothers and sisters. And man, call all these people. Let's get everybody down here, son. Let's feed the whole town. We're having a feast tonight. Oh, man. We got food everywhere. You know what I think? That's the way it works when you go on the mountainside with Jesus. Number one, you're never disappointed. When you go to meet with Jesus, you never are. You never are. If that boy hadn't even brought back all the leftovers, he still wouldn't have been disappointed because Jesus was working. He saw miracles. He saw things done by Jesus that no man could do. But son, when he went out on the mountainside and he met with Jesus, when he came back home, it didn't just fill him up, but it fed his mama. And it fed his aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and his house and all of his neighbors and, man, people around. They were all fed because one boy decided to go on the mountainside and be with Jesus. I think you know where I'm going tonight. But that is this, is that there's a place for each and every one of us where Jesus is working. I don't know where your mountainside is. I can tell you where mine is. I can tell you some places where I've been where when God, hey, when I got there, God was definitely there. And son, I'm telling you what, heaven came down and glory filled. I can tell you honestly, I can stand right here and not be a liar at all to say that I have been with Jesus. I have met with the Lord. And man, some of those places are some of the most precious places to me in all of the world. Hey, and I just found the place where Jesus was working. I'm telling you, it changed me. But it didn't just change me. It changed the way I raised my family. Changed the way I live my life. Changed the way that I witness to people. It changed everything about me. It influenced the people around me. Hey, and today we have a lot of Christians who don't have a whole lot of influence around people and their family. And honestly, their dad, their children don't have a whole lot of respect for their dad's walk with God because they never see it and they don't really know that it's real. And we have wives and husbands who just, hey, they may get along fine and they may not criticize each other, but they know that deep down inside that maybe they just haven't found that holy place with God. And tonight I just beg you, why don't you just take a while and find that place where God is working and get into that place, because there's a mama and there's a daddy that need somebody, hey, that's walking with God and been in that holy place. They need to be fed by somebody who's been with Jesus, and there's children that you're raising right now that need to be fed by somebody who's been with Jesus. There's lost people next door that need to have somebody who's been fed by Jesus because they went to where He was working. See, it took a little bit of effort on that boy's behalf. Get out there. And that's where we fail. We won't make any effort or attempt at searching for that place where God is working. You know, I really believe, and I'm done, I mean this, I really believe there are holy places on this earth where God meets with His people. I believe that. And then I'd ask you, where's yours? Simple enough. Where's yours? See, your marriage depends upon it. Your future depends upon it. Your lost neighbor. I tell young people all the time when we're in camp, I tell them there's somebody in this world that needs you to have a great week at camp worse than you need to have a great week at camp. I tell them all the time. I tell them, young people, you don't understand that if you just give your all to Jesus Christ. Man, I think about young people who have surrendered the mission field and surrendered to preach at camp and all these different things, and how many, probably hundreds of thousands of people are saved over 43 years of reaching young people. There have been over 100,000 people come through our camp, and man, all of those different things, and man, all the blessings that come along. And I'm just thankful, and there's people who are on their way to heaven today because a young person just came to camp and they found that holy place with God. And there are people that need to find their eternal destiny in heaven, and they only the only way they can find it is if you find that holy place with God. It's the only way it's going to happen. You see, tonight, there's people that need you to have a good service worse than you need to have one. And I hope and pray that it's not a consequence of hell for somebody because we didn't. Tomorrow morning, somebody needs you to have a walk with Jesus Christ even worse than you need to have one yourself. And the next morning, and the next morning. But oh, that holy place. You say, Brother Luke, is it that way every day? I'd be lying if I said it was. But I can tell you when I find them, they change me forever. And they change people around me. So I ask you tonight, where's your holy place? When's the last time you've been in it? When's the last time heaven came down and you knew you'd been with Jesus? When's the last time? Tonight, I think the invitation ought to be this. We ought to come down here to the old-fashioned altar. We're going to have an invitation tonight. Is that good? I know it's Wednesday night. But I think we ought to come down here and say, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, I'm going to get out of the town. I'm going to get away from everybody I know. I want to find that mountainside so that when I come back home, feeds all the folks around me. Makes a difference in everybody around me. That's the invitation. Pass the sermon all summed up in just one thought. Because someone needs you to find that holy place that it might change them for the rest of their life. Heavenly Father, I love you. God, thank you that you speak to us. Lord, thank you that you, Lord, take a passage like this we've heard hundreds of times. And Lord, you can give us something fresh. Give us something helpful. Tonight, I just plead with you that these folks would be motivated. I don't know many of their names. I don't know where they live. I don't know much about them, but I know this. It'd do us all some good to find that place. So God, tonight, I ask that you'd motivate, you'd help, you'd uplift, you'd encourage. But Lord, I pray you'd send some folks home with more than they came with. I love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Tonight, simple invitation. Why don't we just come down here and say, Lord, I need that again. I want that again. Well, get out of my comfort zone. Get out of what I'm used to. And go where you're working. If that's your desire, here in a moment we're going to stand. I'm just going to ask you to come. I want to ask this one question. You say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. If that's you tonight, I know it's a Wednesday night, it's home crowd, but maybe there's somebody who says, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, just slip your hand up. Anyone like that, no matter where you're at, I want to pray for you. I know it's a Wednesday night crowd. Here's what I ask you. Would you come and ask God to help you to find that holy place with Him? Let's stand with heads bowed this evening. Pianists will begin to play. If God spoke to your heart tonight, why don't you come? Why don't you come down here to an old-fashioned altar? Well, that's a good step in the right direction. Find that holy place. Find that place where God works. Find that place where all the miracles are happening. Son, when you come out of it, you got a story. No one else can tell what Jesus has done in your life. Boy, do this lost world some good. If Christians just be like, I don't know much, but I know this. This is what Jesus did for me. This is how Jesus helped me. This is what Jesus has done for me. Folks, I love you tonight. I want to help you. That's the reason I'm here. But can I tell you, Jesus tonight, He loves you. And He wants to take your lunch and just do something amazing with it if you just give it to Him.
Take your time. We're not in a rush. We're excellent in time here. What a good thought tonight. Just take your time. Let the Lord speak to your heart. They're playing Have Thine Own Way. Lord, has the Lord had His way tonight in your heart? Don't hold back. Don't keep one piece of bread. Don't keep one piece of fish. Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. Look this way just for a minute. You know, I told the fellas tonight, before the service, or on the way back from having lunch with Brother Bishop, I'd never heard him preach before. That's my first time to hear him preach. Been to the camp, heard him conduct services and sing, as I said, and, you know, just kind of moderate services. But that's my first time to hear him preach, and I'm glad he preached tonight. It's a blessing to my heart. I'm glad he preached it because I didn't have to. Amen. And I preached 23 times in 16 days, so I'm ready to sit and listen, but I'll be ready for Sunday. But that was a blessing. And you know, folks, I get it what he's talking about. There are those moments in the Christian walk where you're with God, and it does change you. I know that. I had one this morning. You know, I woke up at 4 o'clock. I was dog tired, but I woke up at 4 o'clock. My body's on Eastern time. I have an internal alarm clock. It went off at 5 a.m. Eastern time. It was 4 a.m. here. I didn't want to get up, but I thought, well, shoot. So I got up, and you know, I had the best devotions I've had in a long time. Man. It's like you said, it doesn't happen every day. But you know, you pay the price to go out in the mountainside, have your devotions every day, and one day, God's going to be there. And it's going to be different. And then sometimes it's the unpleasant circumstances of life. It's the unpleasant things that we don't even want to touch. We look at with, oh my goodness. But those are the things that God shows up. Thank you. What a good message. And you know, it's not about us. I love the end of that message. It's not about us. It's not what I can get out of the service. It's what somebody whose life I can touch, what I can get out of the service for them. Thank you, Brother Bishop. Outstanding. I love it. I love, you know, there are young men. I know we always hear about the ones that are going emergent, you know, and losing everything and changing it all. But there are young men who are excited about God, who are not ashamed of the old-fashioned way and standing for the Lord and preaching it. And we just heard from one tonight. That's encouraging to me. Thank you, Brother Bishop. I appreciate it. Very good. And, you know, if Jesus gave them the best fish possible, then you know it had to be catfish. Amen. You know it was catfish. No doubt about it.